Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, we're happy you are. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2026, first edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And we're glad you're with us. We're in the Southern Bancorp studio, and we're glad to have you on board today. Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV joining us today. Special kickoff show as we're going to review 2025 and course, heading into 2026 here. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. I'm proud to have them in the new year with us as we again broadcast from the Southern Bancorp studio. We've got a full studio here today. Kelly, Dima, and Bob, and our guest Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV. And Scott, I'm surprised you keep coming back because you look across the studio at Kelly Center. That's what you're going to look like in a few years, and you will have a face for radio.
You know, I hope not. That would be terrible.
Who raises these kids these days? Total disrespect for
great
their elders.
Great way to start the new year. Good line.
Yeah, Dima's making fun of my clothes. Scott Kirk's making fun of the way I look.
Well, on Wednesday, you talked about Iowa State the whole freaking hour. So it's Friday, and geez.
How many players do they have left, Dima? 15?
14.
14, yeah.
Kelly, let's be fair. I mean, you wish you could look like me, right? I mean,
correct.
Oh my! Let me roll up my pant legs here. It's getting deep.
See, you're dressing up for the new year too. We really appreciate that. Is this a new look? Oh no! This is the same look you've had all year. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, I really do have to do laundry because
you see the sweat stains on the back of his clothes. Turn around.
Let me see that.
The only thing that I have left.
I didn't know he sweat.
The only thing that I have left that's clean is my Halloween costume from about 4. So I guess I need to do some laundry. Huh?
Probably. So.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a lot to talk about. I asked Scott to join us. We've got Dima back. We're all together. And we want to talk about it's 2026, but we're going to look back. And I want to review the major sports at Southern Miss in the previous year and get these guys' input on how they did and where things stand. And so, guys, I'm going to start with a sport that's going to be played again tomorrow night, women's basketball, 2024-25. Of course, there's a little overlap in basketball, but 24-25 season, women's basketball at Southern Miss is 10-21, 5-13 in the league. So far in 2025, leading up till today, the team went 9-4. So, Scott, I'm going to start with you. An obvious big change in that Joy Lee McNellis is not at the helm, but the 9-4 start in 2025 indicates a new era and a new step forward for women's basketball, you think?
Oh, most definitely. I think it indicates a lot of growth, and especially when you look at Missy's track record. Pine Belt specifically, I look at what she did at Jones College. This is just a start of hopefully that something really clicking for Lady Eagle basketball. The community seems invested. A lot of local players and Mississippi prospects are really buying into what she's building. I think this could be something huge going forward for USM.
So. All right, and Dima, evaluate 25 when the team goes 10-21, but there's some underlying current there, obviously, with the illness of Joy Lee McNellis, right?
Yeah, there were so many distractions in that previous year's team with, half the practices, Coach McNellis wasn't even there, so that's another thing. You're worried about your coach. You're also having to play a basketball game. Had a couple injuries down the stretch. Just never could really find their rhythm and consistency. And that's really important in basketball, finding that rhythm and consistency. And this year, you're seeing that the team find their rhythm and consistency. They're able to shoot the basketball very well. I think probably one of the better shooting teams in the league. And we've already seen them compete against Sun Belt opponents. So kind of giving your overall thoughts on how they're going to appear in the league. I mean, it's the sky's the limit for this team. I really like this team. They got good inside play. play, but then they also have girls on the perimeter who can shoot the basketball. And, of course, we all know what Missy Bilderbach, as Scott was saying, brings to the table in her coaching experience and her coaching pedigree. I mean, I'm really excited to see what this team does over the next 9 months when the basketball season rolls along.
Well, let's hold our horses a little bit here, guys, because all of their conference games so far have been at home.
Sure.
Including a fourth one tomorrow against Troy. So let's see how they do on the road. Now, in any league, you want to be able to hold serve at home and then steal some on the road. And we've talked about, I don't care how good or bad you are, it's always difficult to win on the road. So I'll be interested to see once they hit the heart of the schedule on the road that they can. And I think they will be able to, but it remains to be seen. If you're playing every single game at home, that can be a little bit deceptive when you get off to that great start, because you're supposed to hold serve at home. Right. Even though teams the last two or three years haven't necessarily, this team has, but let's see how they do on the road.
I think we all agree that with great, great respect to Joy Lee McNellis, who earned that respect, this is a new dawn and a new opportunity for, you know, growth and development in women's basketball. Let's turn to men, guys. 2024-25, a miserable year, 11-22, 5-13. But Dima, as they start out playing in 25, leading up through the holidays, they went 7-7. So I don't know. I think this is an improved basketball team.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm not as convinced as improved basketball team as of yet, just because of Isaac Tavares' status being out. And, you know, they looked good without him for a couple of games, and then a couple of games they didn't look so good. Like the other night against LSU, they looked really bad, to be honest. We'll see what happens. There's, of course, conference play is everything, and not all that those non-conference games are out of the window. We'll see. You know, they played a really good Arkansas State team the other a couple weeks ago, and really were competitive to that game, brought that game down to the final few minutes. But like Kelly said, winning on the road for this team is going to be just ginormous. And so far, at least, they haven't been shown that they can win on the road. Have they won on the road this season yet? I can't remember a game where they've won on the road.
Well, you got, of course, you get travel to Louisiana tomorrow.
Yes.
The Cajuns, which they've already played the Cajuns and beaten them.
Radford, they did win that. And then they won the Pensacola Bay tournament, I guess. Yeah, but conference play, winning on the road is so important. This team is improved, I guess, from last season, but I think that the team is still out there to see, like, really what they're made of.
Jury still out, Kelly?
I think so. But to me, the most difficult, and this has nothing to do with a year in review, but to me, it's so difficult to become a basketball, true basketball fan now because of the turnover and rosters, which that's getting to be in every sport except for baseball. But the other thing is, on both men's and women's side, is what are you playing for? I mean, really, what are you playing for? In football, you don't have to win the conference, but you could still go to a bowl game. In basketball, you can win the regular season and still not go to the NCAA tournament because we know in the Sun Belt, it's a one-bid league. So it's just really difficult to get fired up for basketball when if you don't win the tournament, you're not going anywhere. So it just kind of seems like you're spinning your wheels.
Scott, you cover this for a living, obviously, you and Dima. What is the status right now of men's basketball? And describe last year's disappointing year and how important it is this year to turn this around.
Well, personally, I think to start this 2025 campaign, for me, I think it washed away a lot of the ugliness from 24-25. I thought the end of last season for Coach Ladner and USM men's basketball, I think they tell you too, it was not how they expected it to go at all. A couple locker room issues they had to address, injuries. I don't think the team performed at the level they thought they'd be. I think wiping the slate clean for this season, bringing in a whole new staff, a whole new players, it had to be done. And personally, the first 11, 12 games, they were competitive. That's about all you can ask when you play a schedule like that. They played South Carolina. They played Ole Miss very tough. For a while there, all their losses were fewer by 6 points, right? Mm-hmm. As conference play begins, we got Tavares out, obviously, but all that matters, as Kelly says, and as we all know, is March. But so far, I think this season has kind of wiped away a lot of the ugliness.
1 minute left. I think it's a do-or-die year for Jay Ladner, but I'm not 100% sure how fair that is, Demo, because as we discussed earlier this year, a lot of the things promised to Jay Ladner when he came here, facility improvements, that sort of thing, have just not been a reality.
Yeah, that is true. but I do agree that this is probably a do-or-die year for him. I think really the only reason they didn't make a move potentially last season was because they had to get a new head coach, football coach, and a new head women's basketball coach. So both of those, three of your major sports of football, men's basketball, and women's basketball, way too much. I mean, that would have been way too much. So now I think maybe with this extra money they're getting from the Huff deal where they get $1 million for there, I think they have some room here to maybe, you know, take a peek at things if things don't go the way, you know, the way that the things are planning to go. You look at Jay Ladner's overall record, not great at Southern Miss. I mean, he has that one good season in 2022-2023. Outside of that, you know, it's not been a great tenure for him.
And so, that was a contract year.
Correct.
You know, so it's kind of interesting how they always, coaches tend to have really good years on the years that their contract is up.
I don't know where I stand on the issue now. Ask me in a month, and I'll have a better answer for you.
All right, Forest Health reminds you that as we enter a new year, it is really important to take care of your health. You should get an annual physical, eat right, talk to your physician, get on the right track in 2026. Make your health as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. We'll be right back. Talk football when we do this 2026 kickoff of the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Former Southern Miss star Matt Warren invites you to see him for premium Goodyear products. Full service auto and truck service all at Eagle Tire West, next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West, Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV joins us in the studio today as we kick off 2026 on the Eagle Hour. All right, guys, let's turn our attention to football. I'm going to start with you, Kelly. And these guys had a good idea during the break. Give football, of course, goes 7-6. Great start, terrible finish. Your final analysis of 2025 and the grade you give football.
It would have been higher, but I would give them a B because of the finish. The start was great, but bombed in the end, so B. Clearly better than they were the year before, but then you had the tumultuous turnover, Blake Anderson with empty cupboards. So a B, and I think that might be a little generous.
Scott, what happened to him in the end of the year?
You know, it's hard to see. You know, sitting there watching the New Orleans Bowl last week, and they just look like a completely different team. I know Coach Huff wasn't there, but the assistants were there. The team was there. I don't know how you explain what happened. I guess they caught fire in a really good part of the schedule. To go 7-2 and end the year 7-6, to me, that's extremely disappointing. I think it's one thing if you climb your way back to the ladder, you have a slow start to the year. But coaches say it, and it matters in life. It's not how you start, it is how you finish. And that finish was very disappointing. If I were to grade football, I'd give him a C-. And I was debating D+. I know it's a huge improvement. And huge improvement for 2024. They got to a bowl game. That's fantastic. But to end that way, that's not the standard for any football team.
Man, this is you guys are a rough crowd.
I agree with that. But this is why I'm a D+. And I explained this on my little videos after the game on New Orleans, at New Orleans, when I was there covering the bowl game. And you can go check those out at Pine Belt News. Shameless plug. But, Yeah, this is the reason why. It's because what do fans have to look back on 2024 right now?
2025.
What do they have to look back on? You bring in Charles Huff. There's a lot of excitement. You bring in all these players. And, you know, you're 7-5. You lose the bowl game. You really didn't win anything. And I'm tired of hearing 1-11 to 7-5 because none of those players were here last year in 2024, outside of Chris Jones maybe. And what really put me into a D-plus outside of a C-minus like Scott was Charles Huff leaving and leaving this program in literal utter disarray, as we covered on Wednesday. Out of the 22 starters who played in the New Orleans Bowl, only two of them, as of now, are coming back. Two. And that's maybe, with the portal still having 2 weeks to go, maybe two back. I mean, what Charles Huff left, and then when he did that press conference in Memphis and called Southern Miss the other place, all of these things, it's just nothing to look back on that really gets you excited. It's like, yeah, great. No. Y'all remember when we beat ULM at home for homecoming? Yeah, that was good. It's like, no, there's nothing good to look back on. What is there to be excited for the future? What is there to be excited? You know, there's nothing to be excited for the future. There's nothing that they really won. You know, they didn't win the championship. They didn't win the West Division. They didn't win the bowl game. They didn't really have any players in those first, second, third teams in the Sun Belt all-conference teams.
And all of those are true, Dima, except this year's team actually got to play for a division title. This year's team actually got to play in a bowl game. Whereas
great.
The year before,
I'm glad we have moral victories.
I just think you guys
glad, well, glad they got to play.
Pretty
in
harsh.
A division championship.
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm not a big fan of Charles Huff. I think Charles Huff, and I don't mind saying this, I think he came in here, he used Southern Miss, he jumped on to Memphis, got the big paycheck, and as Dima said, left this place bare.
Yeah.
Blake Anderson has an enormous job in front of him because he was left, I don't even think, Dima, I don't think empty cupboard. I think the cupboard is locked.
Yeah, so it was announced on Tuesday that Reed Stringer is going to be the GM. He obviously was the interim head coach after Will Hall was fired. I called him because I knew that he was coming about a week before. I stayed in contact with him. And I called him, and I was like, hey, man, you got a pretty big challenge out of him. And he said, yeah, we got a big challenge. And I didn't say some words he said. But, I mean, coming into this, like we said, you have the 34 seniors out. You have all these players entering the portal. You're talking about maybe an overhaul. If you take 60, I mean, you're talking about 120 player overhaul over in this new year.
So, but, Scott, should we be thanking Charles Huff for anything?
Well, you know, Bob, I know you say Charles Huff comes in to use Southern Miss, and I think it's fine to use Southern Miss as long as it's used properly, and I think that's the most frustrating part. I know they played for a Western Division title, but that's the frustrating part. Take a team like Louisiana, right? They climbed back to 6-6, and they played for a bowl game. They were out of contention. Southern Miss had everything in front of them this season, and week by week, it washed away as they stood there and let it happen. That's the most frustrating part. It's okay to get used at this point. Just use it the right way. And if I was a fan, that's what I'd be really frustrated with.
But a postscript on Charles Huff, come on. Is anybody surprised? You guys cannot be surprised this guy came in and left after 1 year. We called it back when it happened. And they can say what they want about Blake Anderson not being the coach in waiting, so to speak. Just funny how that worked out.
Yeah.
Nobody expected Huff to be here. Why are we talking? This is not a surprise.
That is correct, but it's kind of just like the cherry on the icing or the cherry on the cake of like, it was so disappointing. Okay, well, at least we have Huff. At least he's a proven winner. He'll be back for 2026. Oh, nope, he's leaving too. Oh, all of the coaches are leaving too. So there's nothing to look back on 2025 and be excited for 2026. You don't have your quarterback. You don't have your running back. You don't have all your wide receivers. You don't have your offensive line. You don't have your 200-tackle linebackers. Your whole secondary is leaving. You're going to have literally a team of unproven players on the field starting against whoever they start, Alcorn State, in 2026. That is not anything to be excited about, and that's why this season was a D+.
But how is Southern Miss's situation different than about 60% of the rest of college football teams? The way it's such a mess. Now, with college football, I don't think Southern Miss's situation, this isn't anything necessarily that Charles Huff done that other people haven't done. Matt Campbell left my alma mater of Iowa State, went to Penn State, left 14 guys on the... I'm saying this is not just a one-in-a-million occurrence. a lot of college football teams are sitting there with their pants down right now.
But that doesn't mean that the D-plus doesn't apply. Regardless of what's happening all over the place, I still think the D-plus applies.
I think my thing is, like, week after week, they had every opportunity to save themselves, and they, you know, the team just kind of stood by and, like, watched everything pass them by.
And Scott, I don't take anything away from the games they won. I enjoyed seeing them win every single game.
Totally.
However, they were not playing a very tough schedule.
No, and I think, you know, you catch fire too. Remember their turnover margin, right? They went 6 turnovers against Arkansas State, 3 or 4 against Georgia Southern on that Thursday night. That's not a game script for every week. So clearly they did a good job preparation-wise, but, you know, you can't bank on turnovers week after week. That's why they won the Arkansas State game, and I think that's what bit them in the end when they were losing games. Especially Texas State, they weren't getting turnovers.
But your quarterback
a play that
was
came
injured.
Down to the final snap, by the way, at Arkansas State.
But your quarterback was injured too, and we've talked about it at any level. If your quarterback is not ready to go, he's obviously the crown, the jewel on the crown. Your quarterback's got to be healthy and playing well, and Braxton just wasn't.
Troy did it. I mean, Troy had 2 quarterbacks this year, Goose Crowder, and I can't think of his other name. I'm sorry. Yeah, Tucker Kilcrease, and they got to a conference championship because, again, they passed by Southern Miss because Southern Miss let it happen.
Can we all agree that everyone needs to give Blake Anderson some time here? You don't need to be making any quick judgments about his coaching ability next year. You got to give this man time to rebuild this program from the floor.
Which is why I think they hired him, because I think they saw that he was going to be here for several years to build this back, because I think everybody looked at the roster knowing, I mean, it was going to be a tough challenge for Charles Huff, you know,
correct,
coming into next season.
You know, the day that I looked out on the field and thought to myself, Huff will not be back, was senior day. I've never seen so many seniors on a football field.
Yeah.
And, you could look at that and tell what I think what was coming.
I think 9 players in your signing class, I mean, that going, like, putting that much into the portal where you're like, I don't mean to speculate, of course. I'm not going to speculate, but that was hard for me to pass. If you're talking about a moment where you're like, I don't know.
And I would argue that if it wasn't Memphis, it was somebody even not up to Memphis's caliber.
I think he was gone
either way. I think he'd have taken the first thing that came along.
I think you're right. All right, folks, remember now, for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, MCS Home Center is the name for you to remember. Everything you need for your next project, they've got it out in Bellevue. Great local folks. Hank Lott, such a wonderful guy. 7329 Highway 98 West. We really encourage you to do business locally. If you've got a home, lawn, or garden project, MCS Home Center. When we come back on this first show of 2026, we're going to talk about something very positive.
Gee, what Scott could that
can,
be?
Scott Kirk, can you guess what sport that might be?
Baseball?
Yes, ding, ding, ding.
As CNC Music Factory once said, things that make you go,
Southern Miss baseball next. 2025 look back, 2026 look ahead. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back and happy new year. Glad you're with us on the Super Talk Eagle Hour as we kick off 2026. Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV in the studio with us today. Dee McKelly and Bob got the full crew, and we're kind of reviewing sports from last year and into this year. So let's talk something positive. And I'll start back with you, Scott. Southern Miss baseball. I put it out to my wife last night, who absolutely loves Southern Miss baseball. We get so spoiled. It's easy to forget that last year in 2025, this team was 47-16 and 6-3 in the postseason, in the conference tournament and NCAA tournament. So they never let up. Yes, they came a game short of getting to the Supers again, but never let up all year long. It was just another banner year for Southern Miss baseball.
It was wonderful. It was magical. I mean, every season that I've covered Southern Miss baseball has been great, but I think 2025 might be number one so far. So many great moments to think of this year. How about the rise of J.B. Middleton, how he became the Friday night ace for the Golden Eagles? Or how about a couple key impacts? Nick Monastere absolutely becoming a monster from about late March onward, the hottest hitter on the planet. Guys like Ben Higdon rising at the end of the campaign and rising for the team. An 18-game winning streak? Guys, fantastic. If we're going to grade the season, though, a lot of great moments, a lot of great wins. Deep in the Sun Belt tournament, you host a regional. That's great. But it's time the program takes the next step. And what is that? Getting to a super. Getting to Omaha. I'm going to give baseball a B+. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I think Oz and everyone listening would agree. It's time to get over the hump. A+ is for championships. Fantastic season. But because they're held to a high standard, I'm keeping my expectations high. B+ for 2021.
I suspect that the first thing Christian Ostrander thinks about every morning when he gets up is getting to Omaha. And I'm confident, Dima, that in time he will. Give us a grade for 2025 Southern Miss baseball.
Yeah, I'll get behind B+. I think there's something to be said that, I mean, I think probably end of March, beginning of April, it was kind of a question of whether or not that team was even going to make a regional. You know, they had that stretch where they were kind of losing some games, couldn't figure out their lineup, couldn't figure out really their pitching outside of J.B. Middleton. And there is something to be said for that. You know, they always do those 18, 19, 20-game winning streaks, getting all the way to that Coastal Carolina matchup in the Sun Belt tournament game that just was a great game. Came up just a couple plays short, really, in that game of winning their third straight Sun Belt championship in a row. Coastal, of course, went on to the CWS finals. Southern Miss couldn't get over the hump in a regional. And so that's why I'm a B, because they're at a point now that it should be expected they should be winning these regionals, especially if they're at home against Miami. You know, great team, of course, but that's a 3 seed. Like, you should be able to beat a Miami, right? If you can beat Alabama, you can beat Miami. I really think last year was probably their best opportunity to get to Omaha, really, and that as long as I've been following Southern Miss baseball, which is my whole life, really, when you thought that you could get Louisville at home for a super, I mean, they were set up to get to the World Series. So I think that was just a really big disappointment, especially considering that you really had no doubt you were going to win at least one of those games with Middleton on the mound. So, but I will say this season, with this roster and this lineup and this pitching staff, Oz is super high on this team, this 2026 Southern Miss baseball team. And if you look at the schedule, they got some really awesome series we should see. They're going to play in that Round Rock Classic in Austin. They're going to start with UC Santa Barbara, who's going to have a really good ace on the mound. So you're talking about probably Colby Allen versus their ace. I think his name is Flora, if I believe correctly. You're going to see a great series there. Really good, cool series going on the road to James Madison. It's so stupid they don't play Coastal in a series. Wow. But again, it's just another great schedule. And when the D1 baseball rankings come out, I would assume Southern Miss will be in the top 25. But, you know, you can never hold your breath with D1 baseball.
It's always Troy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And we'll see. But, again, Oz is very high on this team. But as far as 2025, I'd give that team a B+.
Scott's over there shaking his head. They'll have to play their way into the top 20. They will play into the top 25. But every year it's the same.
Every year it's always Troy over Southern Miss. It's just laughable. By the way, Troy hasn't beaten Southern Miss since, like, 2023.
You know, I actually drove through Troy the other day with my wife, and we were both chuckling about that. She says, well, how many months before they get disappointed playing us in baseball again? And I said, man,
At the end of last year.
Here's the thing, guys, that I thought was most frustrating last year, and it was a great year. I completely agree. Go to the regional, you beat the two best teams in the regional. You beat the tar out of Miami.
Right.
You beat a really good Alabama baseball team in a magnificent baseball game. But you get yourself in a daggum hole by losing to Columbia, which had no business being on the field with Southern Miss.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I don't think we'll ever see Coach Oz pitch off again. I'll tell you that right now. I think he learned his lesson. Not learned his lesson, because I agree with the decision. I would have pitched off as well. I would have pitched Matthew Adams that night. But, you know, I historically, Southern Miss baseball hasn't done that. And so I think after that, I don't think you'll
the question,
and we're going to get there in June, and, you know, the question, if they're the one seed, if they host another regional, well, is Colby Allen going to? Yes, he's going Friday. Yes, it doesn't matter if they're playing Tiddlywinks University. That he's going
Colby
Friday.
Allen's
going
to.
But B pluses. I mean, you guys are living proof that crack does not smoke itself.
What's the standard you want to be at, Kelly?
Consistency.
I want to be at a winning standard.
Consistent. Are you saying they haven't been consistently winning? How?
When was the last time they got to Omaha?
Is that the standard for to anybody to get an A? So only two. Or
I
three
think that's
teams?
Coach Oz's standard.
Well, perhaps so, but I just think, golly, you guys are hard.
It comes from a place of love. It's not. It's not.
I understand that. I understand that. But when you look at the Southern Miss sports body of work overall, these are the only guys that have been winning consistently in and out, and you give them a B plus.
Man, you've been around a long time, Kelly. I'm going to ask you this, then we'll let these two younger guys respond to this. I never thought I would say this because I covered sports during the heyday of Southern Miss football. I mean, it was magnificent. I never thought I'd live to see the day that Southern Miss was a baseball school, but we're living in that time, aren't we?
It's not even close.
Right.
I mean, this is the standard bearer. This is the bell cow of the Southern Miss Athletic Department is this baseball team. So I'm saying, you know, when you look at – no, they didn't get to – but I mean, they didn't get to the World Series. But I don't know how you can give that team anything other than an A. I mean, consistent performance. When people – if there was injuries, other people, you know, rose up. Depth-wise, consistency. It's all about, you know, consistency.
Well, let's jump ahead. Demo? This looks to be a powerhouse. This could be the best team they've ever had.
Yes, I think it's very likely could be the best team. They have a lot of power bats. You obviously got Gillespie kind of fixed his swing. Dre Barrett back. Matthew Russo back. You got
Higdon,
Tucker Stockton back there at the catchers.
He turned into a beast, didn't he?
And then you added those pieces from South Alabama and Louisiana in Kyle Morrison, who's going to play at second base more than likely. He was a 15 home run guy last year. And then the other guy, Caleb Stelly from Louisiana, who was also, I mean, he hit a couple homers against Southern Miss last year. I mean, there's a lot of power. And then when you look at the arms they got, you know, obviously Colby Allen, they're going to want, I'm blanking on all these names. The pitcher last year.
You're talking about.
Graydon Harris, of course, but the guy who came in, I'll remember it in a second. I'm going to just draw on a blank. He came in, Camden Strumstrom.
The kid from Baton Rouge.
Camden Strumstrom.
From Baton Rouge.
Yes, who came in as a freshman and really shut down Alabama, Miami.
Good.
They got a lot of those freshman arms back. They're hoping Drew Meeks is back, and he was throwing 97, 99 when we last saw him before his surgery. And then all these freshman arms. A name you're going to love is a guy by the name of Sam Hutchins, I think is his name. I'm probably butchering all these names, but all I know is that Oz is very high on this roster, and Demon Mixon is drawing a blank in 2026.
Now we're talking, boys. We're talking baseball.
Yeah, but these guys are set up for Demon and Scott to give this team a C.
Look, I just want to clarify. B-plus is not like angry or anything. The 2025 season was fantastic. So many great things. I'm just saying B-plus because there's a lot of room for improvement.
Well, I'm going to say this to
because
you,
because they've been, you know, down in about the same place the last couple years.
If you if Oz were standing in the studio right now or Travis Creel, either one, they would both, I think, say B-plus because to them, it's not an A until they get to Omaha.
I think so
they're
too.
That driven.
And go back to 23, they were also a game away because with this program, it feels like it's always a game away. And the next step is to get there.
I agree.
You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. It's
but
not
we can be real happy about where the baseball program is at. Agreed?
Yeah. Sam Mitchell, I don't know where I got Hutchins from, but Sam Mitchell, freshman, this is what he was doing in fall. I wrote it down because I wanted to make sure that everybody knows what they're in for this year. 80s to low 90s, like high 80s, low 90s fastball, but his slider with a 2,800-plus spin rate that sits in the low 80s, which when I asked Oz about him, he said he's never seen a freshman throwing like that ever. So good to have him on our side. But, yeah, as far as the team, I think when you look at it, there are just so many times where they're just one game away. But I'll tell you one thing. When they do break through finally, because they're going to do it. They're going to do it. I mean, that's a given. They're going to do it. They're finally going to break through, and it's going to be a great story. When they finally do it,
look out.
Holy cow, what this program could be.
They could have hosted. They could have hosted a Super. Yeah. Vanderbilt was knocked out. That's the thing. It's just like,
we can all agree that the expectation now is so high, and I'm sure the coaches embrace it, that anything short of Super Regionals and World Series appearances is a little disappointing.
Boy, you guys, I'm telling you what, you guys are a rough crowd. Good heavens.
I think Oz agrees with us.
It's from a place of love. It's a good B+. It means you got to grow a little bit. You know what I mean?
There we go. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
I want to thank 4th Street Bar and Grill for sponsoring the fourth segment of the show, and DBAT, who sponsors the third segment every day. And my apologies to our good friends there that I overlooked that. But that's a great place to take your children now to get ready for baseball season, which is just around the corner. DBAT on Hardy Street. Mo Babinier, Genesis of Hattiesburg, we appreciate all of our Super Talk Eagle Hour sponsors, as well as the sponsors you hear during the commercial breaks. All right, we want to move on to something different, but before we move past what we've been doing, Dima, I want to mention real quickly, and you brought it up in the break, and you're right, we should say kudos. 2025 was a great year for the golf program at Southern Miss.
Yes, both golf programs really performed well. Of course, the women's golf program won the conference championship game and competed in an NCAA regional, so that was really great for them. Of course, softball took a step forward last season. Of course, 26-29 fell short in the Sun Belt tournament, didn't make the regionals, but another good season for Natalie Poole and looking to improve this season as well. So I think overall a decent academic year for the sports.
And John Stewart's track program is competitive every year. They were competitive in 25. We anticipate they'll be very competitive, don't we, in 26?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And of course, everybody's looking forward to women's soccer, seeing what the new head coach will do in 2026 as well.
Who's been nothing but a winner at William Carey University now. Yep. He's won a lot of games.
And I think Gil had him on the
matches?
Show.
I'm sorry. Is it games or soccer matches?
Matches.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Danny Owens, has been at William Carey for a long time and has taken them to nationals just about every year. Yep. So should be fun.
Until they quit playing for ties, I'm just not becoming a fan. But that's just subject for another. I've never understood a sport that plays for ties.
NFL.
All right, so let's do this. Every millennium, Kelly comes up with a good idea, and he had one. We're going to start with our guest, Scott Kirk from WDAM. I want you to give us the Scott Kirk headline that will cover Southern Miss sports at the end of 2026. What will be the headline?
I think one of the headlines you'll see in 2026, I'm going to make a prediction, okay? Ben Higdon wins Sun Belt Baseball Player of the Year. That's what I'm going to go with. I think that's a really key piece for the Golden Eagles to build around.
Interesting.
He caught fire at the end of last season.
He was good.
When you look at where he came from, the JUCO ranks, he hit over 400. He had over 25 home runs. Now that he has a lot of at-bats under his belt at the Sun Belt level, projected to be a starter in that outfield, I think that could be, your Slade Wilkes, Carson Pato power type that you build around out in the outfield.
Most improved player, I think, last year on the team was Higdon.
Urban, too, I thought, too.
Yeah, Joey Urban.
Very, very great.
All right, what's your headline, Dima Mixon?
Mine is that the Southern Miss women's basketball team will make the Sun Belt championship game.
You stole my headline, Dima.
Oh, well. I really do like this women's basketball team. I think they're going to compete really well in the Sun Belt, and I think they're going to make the Sun Belt championship game. I don't know if they'll win it, but I think they'll make the Sun Belt championship game.
Kelly?
My headline also comes from basketball, but from the men's side. And my 2026 headline will be Jay Ladner's contract is extended at Southern Miss, and the Eagles keep Jay Ladner as head coach of the men's team. I think that, again, when you start to think about who else, and look, nobody wants a job by default unless you're becoming a head coach at Tulane. But you want to be the guy that
who's the new head.
I have a headline Southern Miss fans don't want to see in 2026 is that Southern Miss loses to Tulane.
But I think when I think all is said and done, and you weigh the options of who are you going to bring in here, with the experience and the love for Southern Miss, then knowing that the only way you're going to go to the NCAA tournament anyway is to win the Sun Belt tournament. I just don't think it's worth the effort. Of course, we've got the season ahead of us yet, right? It could be a disaster, but I don't think it's going to be a disaster. I think it'll be good enough that Jay Ladner retains his position.
I do think the basketball team's done a fine job so far to start the year. As I said earlier, they've been competitive. That's about all you can ask for, because as we know, the reality comes down to 1 week in March.
Right.
Well, here's going to be my headline, and none of y'all touched on this. Blake Anderson, with complete new roster, takes Southern Miss to its second consecutive bowl game. I think Blake Anderson will come in, have to completely redo the football roster. But I think he's a proven guy. I think he's done similar things in the past. And I think the football team will be competitive next year. And I say competitive, 6-7 wins with a complete new roster, I think would be a success, Timo Mixon.
Yeah, I think that would be that's probably the goal of next season, is just to make a bowl game. And if they were to do that, I think that would be a wildly successful year considering the roster turnover they're going to have.
Now, of the headlines that we all just gave you guys, which one, and no offense taken by anybody, but which headline would be the most far-fetched of the ones that we just gave?
I personally think the Ben Higdon one, because I just wonder, with as many bats as they have, if some of the other players are going to take away maybe from Ben Higdon's stats, I don't know if for sure he's in the lineup to start the year. So we'll see. That's the only one. Yeah. And I wouldn't say it's like crazy far-fetched, but I'm just saying that might be the one that's hardest to reach. Yeah,
and I will remind you that on January 19th.
First day of practice,
baseball
Bob.
Practice begins.
Yeah.
Are the Golden Eagles going to host the Super, Bob?
I think so, yes. I think so.
That's not far-fetched at all.
I certainly think they have the talent to do so, yes. But as Oz would tell you, there's a lot of baseball to play, right?
I just booked a hotel in eastern Nebraska. I don't know.
I do it every year. Scott, thank you, my man.
Thank you, guys.
Look forward
to
having you on the show throughout the year. Okay?
I hope I come back next year.
You're always welcome here. That wraps up today's show. Hope you have a great, happy weekend until Monday. Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.